Let us pray.
Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you because of who you are, rich in mercy. Our minds cannot fathom the depth of your love for us that you revealed clearly to us by offering your Son, Jesus Christ, to take our place on the cross. We are grateful, Father, that you love us so much, that you have a perfect plan for each and every believer. Ours is the wonderment that you should so care for us, that you have even seen fit to give us in written form your word, so that by studying them, we will know exactly how you want us to think and how you want us to function on this planet. So, Father, as we have gathered this evening, we are aware that our human minds are incapable of perceiving anything that is spiritual. For this reason, it is our request that God, the Holy Spirit, will give us the focus and the concentration that we need to understand and grasp what you have for us this evening. This is a request, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We are dealing with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we have been dealing with the section that goes from verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, in our last study, we considered the appropriate times to be silent or to be still because of the phrase, a time to be silent, of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 7. Our focus was on the need to pray that God will provide us the wisdom to know the appropriate time to be silent or to be still. But we indicated, though, that a sixth element of prayer that you should offer with respect to the theses of appointed and appropriateness of time for every event in this life is for the Lord to provide you with the wisdom to recognize a time when to be silent and a time to speak. Now, having considered the first part of the petition that has to do with a time to be silent, we move now to the time to speak, as in the last phrase of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 7. That is all we will deal with tonight, a time to speak. Now, as we indicated, that the phrase a time to be silent is also concerned with the concept of being still or do nothing under certain conditions. So also the phrase a time to speak is concerned not only with speech but with action. Thus the phrase extends to the concept of knowing when to take an action instead of sitting on the fence. Now the kind of actions that we should take will become evident as we examine the phrase. Now, we are concerned with the time to speak. But before we consider the phrase, let me add the caution that a time to speak does not necessarily mean that a person should talk too much. Now, the scripture tells us that it is not a good thing to be a talkative, for the simple reason that such practice leads to sin. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, and hold on to Proverbs 2, put your marker, because the next passage will also be in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 19 reads, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. A person who is talkative is often not conscious of what he or she says, and so often forgets to keep the promises made in those talkative period. Now, this is not all, though. Many times, such a person is prone to lies and often divulges secrets that someone had told the individual or had confided in them. A person who divulges someone's secret shows himself or herself not to be trustworthy and falls into the class of individuals who gossip, as implied in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. He reads, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. You know, that's just a problem for a whole lot of people. They cannot keep secret. You tell them something, they're itching. Their mouth is itching to talk, tell somebody else. Of course, they always end up saying, nah, this is a secret I'm telling you. It's no longer a secret if somebody tells you something and you tell the next person and say, but this is a secret. It's not a secret anymore. When a person confides in you, they mean for you to keep your mouth shut. Don't tell another person. See, the verbal phrase, when it says betrays a confidence, is more literally reveals secrets. Hence then, it is clear that a gossiper is one that reveals secrets of others, because as he gets carried away with gossip or talking too much, he does not know when he reveals what someone had confided in him or her. Now the point is that if you avoid being a talkative, you will not betray the confidence someone has placed in you by telling something or someone, another person's secret. It is therefore then advisable not to be a talkative. In fact, it is better that when you talk, that you carefully think through what you're about to say. Now, if you do this, you'll become a person of few words. You benefit yourself by thinking before you speak, as implied still in Proverbs, look up chapter 13, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 reads, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Now, see, the Bible phrase, guards his lips, means to be careful of what one says so as to weigh one's words before uttering them. In any event, even when it is time to speak, it is important that you carefully weigh your words so that what you say does not bring harm to you or to others. You should be mindful that you are not careless with your words, since the Lord warns of judgment that will come to those who utter such, as we read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He reads, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." See, the adjective careless is translated from a Greek adjective that has been rendered with different words in our English version, such as some use useless, idle, unfounded. Now, it is true that a Greek adjective means idle, lazy, without thought, but in our context, the sense of the word is that which is harmful. Therefore, a person who says something that causes harm to another person will be held responsible in time of God's judgment of all. Now, this truth should caution us then to be careful to recognize that even when it is time to speak, that we are very careful and thoughtful in what we say to ensure that we do not bring any harm to others. Solomon puts out here the principle that there is a time to speak, but he did not elaborate on it. Therefore, it is our responsibility to examine the scripture to understand the proper times to speak. But before we do, we should observe though that it does not appear that Solomon was primarily concerned with the ordinary speech that we engage on a daily basis. That's really not, seems to he has something much more in mind. Now, it is true that we should be careful with our conversations that we have with others, and that there is also appropriate time to have conversations. But such situations does not necessarily require the wisdom conveyed in the phrase "a time to speak." So we contend that Solomon was concerned with special occasions when people ought to speak or speak up, as implied in the various times to speak that we will consider. Anyhow, we will consider several occasions when the phrase "a time to speak" applies. That is, a time to speak up. That in some situation imply taking some actions. So I'm going to give you some situations when it is time to speak up, according to this phrase, "a time to speak." First, a good time to speak is when it is necessary to offer some comfort, assurance, or encouragement due to the state of an individual's soul or heart. In effect, when you notice that someone is having difficulty because the person is not sure of forgiveness that comes from God or from you after the person has wronged you, then it will be a time, that will be a good time to offer reassurance that such a person should not worry, because you have indeed forgiven the individual. Now, Joseph demonstrated this kind of time as being appropriate, the time appropriate to speak, because after the death of his father, Jacob, his brothers were afraid that he would mistreat them based on what they did to him. Because such an occasion is the proper time to speak, he reassured them that he would take care of them as he did before the death of their father, as in Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. Genesis. Chapter 50, verse 21. He reads, "So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. See, verbal phrase "spoke kindly to them" is literally "spoke to their heart." That's the way it is in the Hebrew. "Spoke to their heart." See, Joseph's brothers, their souls needed reassuring because of the doubt and the fear that existed within them. And so that was a proper time to speak up. Likewise, when a person is likely to become discouraged, then that is a time to speak up in order to provide the needed encouragement. Now, this was what David was advised to do after the death of his son Absalom, and the men who fought for him during the Absalom's rebellion appeared to be discouraged because of his response towards the death of his son, to the point that he almost ignored those who saved his life, so to say. Now, that situation was actually the right time then to speak up, because these men were having problems. So David spoke to provide them encouragement, as recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 7. Second Samuel chapter 19, verse 7 reads, "Now go out and encourage your men. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall. This will be worse for you than all the calamities that have come upon you from your youth till now." See, the verbal phrase "encourage your men" is literally from the Hebrew, "speak to the heart of your servants." Speak to the heart of your servants. See, the men's hearts were on the verge of being discouraged, so to say, because they felt that David did not appreciate their effort in trying to keep him from being killed during Absalom's revolt. Now, in truth, when there is a sense of doubt in a relationship, that will be a proper time to speak with reassuring speech. Thus, and this I know, happens quite frequently until a woman gets some spiritual stability in her, spiritual growth. Many women are insecure with their husbands and their love for them. So, if a woman gets doubtful of the husband's love, then that will be a time for the husband to reassure the wife of his love for her. Now, I know I'm not talking really, I know, I mean, it's necessary to use words. You can tell your wife, yes, you love her. But it's knowing what love is, it is more important that you demonstrate it to her, that you love her. She has those times for whatever reason. Part of it, I think, is a curse that was pronounced on the woman during the fall. So every now and then,
She gets into that mode where nothing else seems to matter to her but herself. And she gets into self-pity and think, no one cares about me. My husband doesn't love me. That should be a time to speak of if you're a husband.
So anyhow though, the first condition or situation that is appropriate then, or appropriate time to speak of, is when there is evidence of doubt in a person who should be reassured. Or when there is evidence of discouragement on the part of someone who should not be discouraged. You speak up. Encourage them. Reassure them. This is something a careful believer would do. Second, a time to speak up is if you observe some crime take place. If you observe some crime take place, that's a time to speak up. See, there is a tendency for many people to look the other way when there is crime that does not directly affect them. The reason that they should not get involved because it is not their business. Now that's a really wrong attitude to take when you live in a society, in any community. See, God didn't want us to be alone. It is not proper for a person to be a loner. That's not God's plan. It requires that we interact with each other. So really, contrary to the societal norm, there is nothing wrong with being a whistleblower when there is an actual crime, not perceived, actual. There's nothing wrong with it. It is important that you become involved in speaking out about a crime, especially to report the crime to the appropriate authority without waiting to be asked. Now, failure to report a crime that one has observed to the proper authority is really a sin that many are unaware of. And that explains the reason some who do not even want to sin may become guilty of sin. That it is a sin not to report a crime to proper authority, especially if the authorities have appealed to the public, is evident in what is written in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. It reads, if a person sins, now see what, look at what the sin is about, because he does not speak up when he hears a public charge to testify regarding something he has seen or learned about, he will be held responsible. Now the situation regarded as sin here, of course, could refer to failure to respond to an appeal to the public to help solve a crime, or it could be a failure to testify in a courtroom setting. In either case, it is sinful not to speak up when such will help to convict a criminal. Now, we can be sure, though, that such a sin will not go unpunished by God. In other words, if you don't keep your mouth shut after you've seen something that will be helpful, don't think you get away with it. So the point is that a proper time to speak up is when you witness a crime that should be reported to the proper authority. Third, a proper time to speak up is when you are present where something bad is said about the person that you know is not true, or when something bad is said against someone who cannot defend himself or herself, either because the person is helpless or because of some other social condition. Now the scripture gives us examples of this proper time to speak up. There was the occasion that Saul had animosity towards David because he felt that he would take over the rule of Israel from his family. So he became very antagonistic towards him. He expressed his hatred, so to say, to his son Jonathan, who spoke up for his friend David, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. It reads, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David." See, he says some ugly thing about David. Here his son is. "He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it, and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?" See, that of course tells you about the spiritual life of Jonathan. See, he stands to lose if David is alive, because David is going to be the king. But he was so spiritually mature that he knew that it doesn't matter, whatever God's plan is, that's what's going to take place. So why be angry? Why be bitter? Now, in this case, David was not around to defend himself. But Jonathan realized that he had to speak up for, at least for his friend David, implying that that was, of course, the right time to speak up for David. Thus then, whenever you know a person and something that is not true is said about that individual, then it is a time to speak up. Now, another illustration of this proper time to speak up is provided in time of Mordecai and Esther. Haman had plotted the extinction of the Jews who were helpless, because we've studied the book of Esther in detail. Mordecai recognized that that was a proper time to speak up for the Jews, so he nudged Esther to do so in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Esther and hold on to Esther, because the next passage is also in Esther. Esther chapter 4 verse 14 reads, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your families, your father's family will perish. And who knows, but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." You see, it is easy to become silent in face of injustice because of fear or because of the desire to protect whatever position or advantage we enjoy. But Mordecai implies here that we should be cognizant that whatever position we hold in life is part of God's plan. So, what that means is that we should be able to speak up when we see injustice or something wrong taking place. Now, it is based on this truth, though, that Mordecai here impressed on Queen Esther the need to speak up for her people, the Jews. She could have said, "I am the queen. It doesn't matter to me. They can kill all of them. Nothing will happen to me. I'm the queen." But that wasn't the issue. For Mordecai, say, "God has put you there. Who knows? For this particular purpose." Of course, he didn't use the word God, but that's obvious. So Esther realized that Mordecai was right. And so she sought for a proper time to speak. And when God provided her that opportunity, she spoke up on behalf of her people in Esther chapter 7 verse 4. It reads, "For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had been merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet. Because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." And then she went up. If you read the story, of course we started it, then you know what happened next. How God did all he did in order to eventually get rid of Haman and turn the tide around in favor of the Jews. In any case, these two examples that we have provided illustrate the point that the proper time to speak up is when you are present. Where something bad is said about a person that you know is not true. And who, in particular, is unable to defend himself or herself. At such a point, you must speak up. That's a time to speak. You may not be satisfied with the point that we have made and the examples that we have cited, this may not be enough to convince you that a proper time to speak up is a time when someone is unable to speak for himself or herself for whatever reason. Now, just in case, if you didn't catch it from these examples or you have a doubt, let me provide you then a direct command that places the responsibility is squarely on you to speak up in such a time. That instruction is given clearly, Proverbs 31, verse 8. Proverbs 31, verse 8. Proverbs 31 verse 8 states, "Speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." Now, a lot of time, we Christians look the other way. It is easier to say, well, it doesn't concern me. I didn't do that. I wasn't involved. And so we don't speak up. But then we don't realize that by not speaking up, that we're adding to the problem. Because when we don't speak up and people do certain things, God's judgment will come in on the community or nation, and which will be a part of. So it is important that you and I recognize this responsibility. Thus then, the proper time to speak up is when you observe that someone who is helpless is spoken against, or that the person's right is denied, or whenever evil is plotted against anyone in your presence, you must speak up. Fourth, a time to speak up is when you experience God's goodness. Now that's important. A time to speak up when you experience God's goodness. Now many times we enjoy God's goodness, but are reluctant to tell others about it. This is wrong. I'm sure many of you here, you enjoy tremendous blessings from the Lord on a daily basis. Do you tell anyone? You enjoy it? Close your mouth. That is wrong. Now, this is one of the reasons that I emphasize the need for believers to interact with each other. Because if you've seen something, you may say, let me just tell you what the Lord did for me. And that may encourage the next person, the one you're talking to. Besides, of course, it brings glory to the Lord. So whenever we experience God's goodness, then it is the proper time to speak up for God. You speak up for God to others. God can speak directly if he wants to. But he's using your mouth to spread out his goodness. So, that's what you should do when God shows his goodness to you. Now, the psalmist indicates that he did this before those gathered for worship in Psalms chapter 40, verse 10. Psalms chapter 40, verse 10. Psalms chapter 40, verse 10 reads, "I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly." Now you notice that the psalmist says that he did not conceal God's love and truth. By this he implies that he never kept quiet when he experienced God's goodness. Instead, he made others aware of the Lord's goodness to him. Think about it. What else do we have to offer God than to praise him, than to talk about how great he is? Therefore then, the proper time to speak up for God, so to say, is whenever you experience his goodness.
You can hardly wait until you tell another believer who will understand, who will appreciate, who will be encouraged by what God is doing in your own life. So all I'm saying is you are to broadcast His goodness to you, to anyone willing to listen. In other words, a time to speak up in times of praise of God is whenever you experience His goodness. The psalmist indicated that he is one who is committed to praise God, as he stated in Psalms 145, verse 21. Psalms 145, verse 21. Psalms 145, verse 21. And we'll, of course, on to Psalms. The next passage is also in Psalm. It reads, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever." So we are saying that the time to speak up is when you experience God's goodness. I need to keep reminding us of this. There's just not much we can do for our God than to broadcast, to talk about His goodness. That is a challenge. That's a responsibility you and I have. And don't tell me that you don't experience His goodness. If you're not, probably not His child. Because I know with absolute certainty that every believer who has a genuine relationship, who walks on a daily basis with the Lord, enjoys tremendous goodness from Him. Of course, He's always good to even unbelievers. Most times they don't know that, but you should. You should see His goodness in everything that He does for you. And so, all I'm saying at such a time is not one in which you become silent or become shy to say something about God. No. That situation is a time to speak up for His goodness. Fifth, a proper time to speak up is when you have learned the word of God and believed it. Then it is time to pass it on to others. That is what I said. When you have that, it begins with learning. Learning and you believe it. Which of course will mean that if you believe it, you're going to put it into practice. And once you put it into practice, you see its power. And once you see it, then you move, you become convinced. And so you can tell other people. So hence, when you are convinced that you have the word of truth or the word of God, that will be beneficial to others, or make them to be wise, then that's the time to speak up. The psalmist speaks to his commitment to speak at this proper time in Psalms 49, verse 3. Psalms 49, verse 3. Psalms 49 verse 3 reads, "My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterances from my heart will give understanding." See, the psalmist commits to speaking the word of wisdom, or words that will make other people wise, because he has learned the word. And so he realized, now that he's learned it, tested it, proven it, it was time to speak and to pass his knowledge to others. So once you have it, it is your responsibility to speak up. Pass it on. Now the concept that the right time to speak up, is when you have heard the word of God that can be beneficial to others, is given in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6. Proverbs and hold on to Proverbs. Of course, the next passage is also in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6 reads, "Listen, for I have weighty things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right." Well, in this case, is some personification of wisdom is involved here. But the point is that the use of the attention getter, listen, is appropriate when one has something that is worthwhile to pass on to others. So if you have learned the word of God, and have applied it, as to experience its power, its validity, then that is the time to speak and pass on the truth that you know to others. The point here is that it will be improper on your part to learn the word of God and never recognize that you should pass it on to other people or those it can be beneficial to. That is to say, you do not learn all this and keep it to yourself. Now, every moment that the Lord provides you to share His word is certainly a proper time to speak. Now, we live in a world that many people are eager to give their opinions about any and everything. But in reality, what they say are usually of no value to the spiritual life. It is rare to find those whose words are indeed meaningful. Very rare. Now don't take my word for it, because it's not my word. I'm telling you what God says. It is easy to find all kinds of opinions everywhere in the air, wherever you read them in print, wherever you can find that. It's very rare to find those whose words are meaningful. Now, this truth is implied in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15 reads, "Gold there is, and rubies in abundance. But," notice what is the contrast here, "but leaves that speak knowledge are a rare jewel." This is what he said. In other words, knowledge that leads to spiritual benefit is superior, of course, to wealth. That's why he can talk about gold there is, rubies in abundance. But leaves that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. Therefore then, if you possess this rare, precious knowledge of the word of God, then that will be a time to speak. Christianity today is suffering from famine, as I've explained in the past, in fulfillment to the prophecy of Amos when he said there will be a time of famine.
He said, it's not famine of food, but of the teaching of the word of God. I assure you, there are very few places today where believers are actually taught the word of God. They fill them up with all kinds of nonsense so that they come out, know nothing about their Savior. And they think they're living the Christian life because maybe if they're self-righteous, they say, well, I don't commit adultery. But they go out there and gossip. Those ones don't count. See, they slander. It don't count. Because no one is actually teaching them truth. That accounts for why we Christians are so weak. Because you see, what impresses people, unbelievers, is power. And when they don't see that in us, we can talk all we want. They don't take us seriously. So we're saying, it's a rare thing now. So if you get this precious thing, the word of God, it is a time to speak up. In fact, if you do not have the word of God, then that will be, of course, a time not to talk, but to learn. To learn so that you will be in a position to pass your knowledge to others. But once you have learned the word, then you have it in you. And so, that is the proper time to speak up. Prophet Jeremiah makes an indirect reference to this proper time to speak up in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. He reads, Jeremiah 23, verse 28, reads, let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord. Now this passage indicates that once you have the word of God taught to you, that you are in a position to speak about it. You should then recognize that the proper time to speak up is when you have learned the word of God, apply it. Now people may not listen to you, but that should not discourage you. You should speak to them. Once you have the truth, the word of God in your soul. See, there's nothing new about people not listening to the word of God spoken to them. This was the case with Israel in time of prophet Ezekiel, but God still encouraged him to speak anyway to his people according to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7. And hold on to Ezekiel though once you get to it, because again our next passage will be in Ezekiel. He reads, You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. So could I be able to listen to you or pay attention? Doesn't matter, just give them the word. Anyway, the fact remains then that the proper time to speak up is when you have learned the word of God, believed it, applied it, and seen its power. That's time to pass it on. Sixth, a time to speak up is when you see a fellow believer err and you have the word of God to help. You see a fellow believer erring and you have the word of God to help, that's the time to speak up. Now this responsibility was made clear to the prophet, prophet Ezekiel. Still in Ezekiel, look at chapter 3, verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse 18. He reads, when I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. Now, of course, personally, I tell you, as I've said many times from this passage scares me to death because of what that responsibility calls for. Now, the phrase wicked man is often a reference to an unbeliever, but it could also describe a believer who is rebellious towards the word of God. Thus, the wicked in application could refer to a believer that has gone astray, that needs to be warned. And believers, these days I want you to warn them. Now you may be tempted though to think that the instruction to warn a believer who errs is the responsibility of spiritual leadership alone, because this passage that we cited is directed to a prophet and so by implication to all spiritual leaders of the congregation. But that is an incorrect application of the passage. The correct application is that while spiritual leaders should carry out the instruction given in this passage, that all believers are also required to do the same. You are required to help a fellow believer that goes astray. That is the case, of course, it's evident in that instruction that I've quoted several times in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. He reads, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. See, the word brothers here implies that instruction given here is for every believer. That is, a believer that is spiritual to carry out, and not only to the spiritual leaders of a local congregation. Now that it is required of us, believers, to do that, it's also stated in the passage. You can go home and read. I'm not going to read it, but in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. You can jot that down, James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. So these passages that we have cited indicate that it is the responsibility of spiritually minded believers to carry out the instruction contained in them that have to do with helping a believer who errs. Thus, the point that we seek to establish is that when you see a fellow believer err and you have the word of God to help that believer, then that is the right time to speak up. It is a time for action, and that you should approach such a believer and help the believer. You should get involved by reaching out to a believer in spite of the fact that some pastors or teachers of the word of God have been influenced by the culture to teach contrary. You are not to remain silent when you see your fellow believer err. You are required to help the believer to recover. That is an action that is covered in that phrase, a time to speak. Seventh, a proper time to speak up is when you are forbidden to speak the word of God. In other words, whenever there is an attempt to muzzle the gospel message of salvation, that is precisely a time to speak up. That is, in other words, when people say you shouldn't witness against Christians, you shouldn't talk, that's the right time to begin to do it. So that this is the time to speak up is evident in the examples of the apostles. They were forbidden from preaching the word by the religious ruling authorities of their time. Now, in spite of this, they preached the word, as recorded, for example, in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. He reads, "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking out what we have seen and heard.'" So the response of Peter and John here should cause us to recognize the truth that the time to speak up is whenever there is an attempt to muzzle the gospel message, and or its teaching. So in any case, the sixth element of prayer that you should offer with respect to the thesis of appointed and appropriate times, appropriateness of time for every event in this life, is for the Lord to provide you the wisdom to recognize the time when to be silent and the time to speak up, to know when to take an action and when to do nothing. May the Lord grant us help in this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to enable us so we will know, give us the wisdom to know the appropriate time to speak and when to be silent. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.